Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Heisman and so many other guys. And, you know, Mac Jones had an incredible year, Heisman Trophy year at Alabama. So you could look at any of the three and you could make a case for any one of the three. Now, most fans would be upset if they do go to Mac Jones, and I get that. But for me, if you have faith in Kyle Shanahan, then whoever he picks, that's fine with me, but he's got to get it right. And I wonder, of the top three quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and whomever the Niners take, what's the likelihood that all three of them are hits in the first place? And by hits, I mean, you know, multi-Pro Bowls, playoff-winning, Super Bowl-caliber quarterbacks. Because you look at the history of the National Football League, when three quarterbacks go that early, usually all three, or almost ever, all three aren't all hits. So you just hope you're not the one of the three to have the miss.
And I'm thinking about the two-piece, Steiny, with they have looked at it and boiled it down to Fields or Lance, and only they know which one they deem, you know, better than the other. But that was the only scenario to where they did what they did is justified, because either one of those guys would be available at three, or this is where the pressure comes in the Jackals. If you did all that to go get Mac Jones out of the University of Alabama, and he could be the next Bob Greasy, and you got it right, just from a public standpoint, and when you listen to the Baldies and the Bucky Brooks, nobody is saying what they would have seen in Mac Jones. And Kyle Shanahan will say middle finger to whoever, that crowd. It's all about what I think and what I know I can do with said quarterback. And I look at Mac Jones as, you know, somebody I can turn into a future All-Pro and Super Bowl winner. This is why this is like, and I think that's it. Because the two-piece are one. The one is Mac Jones, and you get your guy. But the two-piece, oh, we're in love with both? I'm hoping it's one of those two dudes. I just think it's going to be Jones.
Ain't nothing guaranteed, bro.
It's good. 211 Steel Reserve. He's at Fremont. Drew in Oakland. What's up, Drew?
Hey, what's up, Steiny? Welcome back, man. I hope you had a great trip.
Thank you. It was terrific.
Hey, I was listening. I was trying to find JD and Whitey yesterday, but they had the national broadcast on, and they've been saying what I've been thinking the whole time. Quinn and Knox, they said there's no way in heck that they didn't get the wink from the Jets coach, Saleh, to get them to move up to three. So they were talking about this yesterday, and they said that they moved up to three because they know who's going at number two. It's either Fields or Wilson, and whoever they're not taking is who the Niners are taking. What's your guys' take on it?
Yeah, I don't.
It would be Fields then, right?
But I don't know. Like, I'm not convinced that Robert Saleh said to Kyle Shanahan, oh, dude, we're taking Wilson. I mean, yeah, we're taking Wilson. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, why would he do that? They're competitors.
They're boys, though, Stoney. They got a relationship.
But Goo, I got to tell you, I wouldn't do it for you guys. This is a competitive environment. I get the Jets and the 49ers in different conferences, different coasts.
If it didn't affect what you were getting, because I would make that call. I'd hit you in dibs up like, hey, Stoney, you love who you love? Just tell me who you love so then we can do what we need to do on the back end to get who we love. You know, we're boys. We family. And I'm not affected what you're going to get. Just kind of shoot me a text which way you're going so we know what to do.
That's
a relationship.
Hit the pike. No, I get it, Goo, and I get what you're saying. I don't think that that's the way this goes, but the two of them have had many conversations about this quarterback class. So Kyle doesn't have to call him and say, hey, Rob, it's Kyle. What's up, Kyle? How you been? Good. How are you? How's it been? Etc. They know where they stand. Kyle knows who Saleh likes the most. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence has been going number one ever since he grew his hair out back in 2018. That was a done deal. So I think when you look at the other quarterbacks and you watch, and I told you guys, remember I did my quarterback watch list early on, and I had names like Kellen Mond out of Texas A&M and Kyle Trask, no relation, out of Florida, and Mac Jones was in there, and Zach Wilson was the guy I threw out, and we watched Zach Wilson, and you watched him tear it up. So is it safe to say that Kyle and Robert Saleh, when they were coworkers, also had a chance to watch Zach Wilson tear it up, and Kyle and Robert were probably, you know, loving on him, and so then Saleh gets the job with the New York Jets, and Kyle knows how Robert Saleh feels about Zach Wilson because the two of them probably mutually gushed over Zach Wilson. So Saleh gets the gig. He's picking number two. Kyle already knows how he feels, so now he trades up to number three, knowing full well that it's going Lawrence and Wilson, and then he gets the fill-in-the-blank third quarterback.
Don't you need that confirmation, though, Dibs? Real quick, that confirmation. Like he did, Steiny did talk about this guy, but I just need that confirmation.
Now, I know that Steiny likes drinking lagers. Now, there's a lager out there, a beer that I don't know the name brand of, that he may be drinking that I don't know about. But I guarantee you, if it's a lager, I know that he would like it, knowing what I know about Steiny and his affinity for lighter beers. And I think that's the relationship that Saleh and Kyle have.
That's a good point. It would be like, you know, Saleh is not, you know, doesn't like IPAs.
Right.
Now, but here's the one thing that I was thinking about.
You will drink an IPA when pressed, but the analogy works.
Yes, exactly. And I dare somebody find a beer I won't drink. But the question is, what would Saleh and Kyle Shanahan have been talking about quarterbacks during the season when it was only speculation that Saleh was going to get a head coaching job? You know what I mean? Like, when did Saleh start thinking about a quarterback? Was it on the day he got hired by the Jets?
No.
And who's to say it's just his decision, Dibs? Who's to say
it's not point
the, the Jets? Hey, when we hire you, hey, this is what we want. This is what we get. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it could be that, not to interrupt you.
No, it could, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, Goo, but I think that Saleh was a hot enough coaching candidate that entire year, you know, there was an expectation that he was getting a gig. And usually good teams don't fire their head coach. Bad teams, here's a hot take for you. Go ahead and write this one down, Kyle, for your weekend show. Bad teams more likely to fire their head coach than good teams, which means you're more like, get the pen. You're more likely to be drafted higher up as a new head coach. So I would imagine that Robert Saleh was picking Kyle's brain, even like, hey, Kyle, who do you like at quarterback? You know, because I'll probably get a gig and I'll probably be picking ahead of you.
Yeah. And
in
and
Kyle,
the idea,
I trust.
Well, and the
Kyle
idea
has some
that,
nuggets, too.
Well, the idea that bad teams fire their coaches. I mean, that goes back to James Thurber. I mean, he's the guy who you know, said as much. And
who are you?
No, I've heard of James Thurber. I could not have named the title of a book. But hey, Sonny, James Thurber. I'd be like, yeah, writer. That's it. I mean, that's all I got. Yeah, I don't know if he's a southpaw or a righty, but, you know, hey, James Thurber, he could write. Yeah,
He's a
make
competitor.
It sound like I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah.
I just don't. I just. What do you like? See, Spadoni, what are you doing?
Oh, I was getting, Kyle had some nuggets. I thought Kyle was going to get on there to give them to us. I had my barbecue sauce ready.
Oh, because yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
No, I just – I think there's some questions that I – like I'm definitely going to want to know the answers to after the draft, but I'm not sure that we ever will. That's what – that's going to be the part that's going to stink. Like, hey, Kyle, did you have a sense for what Robert Saleh was going to do at number two? No, not at all. Not why would you give that impression? Well, because you worked with him. So now we're competitive. Like, we're still not going to get the answers.
Nope.
But hopefully, well, we'll get certain answers next Thursday, but maybe not all the answers that we want. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. We're talking NFL draft. It's next Thursday. Next Thursday is the NFL draft, and who is San Francisco 49ers going to select? Which quarterback that's available are they going to select? And right now, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch in Fargo, North Dakota. Are they really going to draft Trey Lance? We'll talk about it on the other side at 888-957-9570.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, coming up at 1 o'clock today, we have Jeff Kolpak. He's a longtime North Dakota State University football beat writer from Forum Communications. He's seen Trey Lance a bunch. And Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are seeing Trey Lance today in Fargo. I was just thinking about this during the break. I think Shanahan and Lynch are, for the most part, conservative. Would you guys at least, would you agree with that or not? Just kind
of into this move.
Yeah, just kind of conservative in their approach. So just go with me on that one. And that's where I think Trey Lance has no future with the 49ers. Like, I just cannot believe, Dibs and Goo, that Kyle Shanahan would trade two first-round picks to move up to a spot to take a quarterback who didn't play this past season, who's pretty raw, who's got a huge upside, who doesn't play in, you know, didn't play against the competition that the other guys played against. That would be very un-Shanahan-like, I think.
Well, I'll just start by refuting the notion that they're conservative, because if you look back at virtually every one of the drafts they've had, they've made moves. They've had action. You went out and you fired off a second-round pick to bring in Jimmy Garoppolo, and you traded back from 2 to 3 and got picks from Chicago to take Solomon Thomas, and you know you went out on a limb and took Reuben Foster, and you look at the D Ford move, you brought him in, and Richard Sherman, you brought him in the fold. So I don't think that they've been conservative, which I guess leads me to maybe not buy into that narrative that would, their conservatism would prevent them from going to Trey Lance. Because if you are the QB whisperer and you see a guy with this much talent, potential, and upside, I think that would be even a more conservative pick than if you went out and got Mac Jones, for example.
See, I think, forget the conservative or not. They know, forget that for a sec. They know that, okay, this is the quarterback that they're going to be linked to. And I just find it hard to believe that Shanahan's going with the quarterback that's got the least track record among the other two guys. And the two other guys played at big-time programs. They both were very successful. Like, to me, the gutsiest move of all would be, we're going to move up and we're going to take the biggest unknown of these three. And I get it. They can maybe see something they like because they know more about it than anybody else. But I don't know, Goo.
Snack bar, Steiny, and you were in the snack shack, snack, you know, hey, what do you want? I'm buying what you're selling because of the unknown. I get that. I'm with you. But I'll say this. When you go the other way, if it's Lance, this is what the quarterback looks like at his pro day. This is what the quarterback looks like in the pocket the year he played. But the things that I think are going against him is, you know, not Division II is where he played, him not playing last year. And to Dibbs's point and example, there was risk in those other selections, but those weren't quarterbacks. It's just something different about the quarterback. So now you got Mac Jones that played on the biggest stage at Bama in the biggest bowl games. And then you got a guy that's relatively Chabot College, basically, in North Dakota State, but he looks like Hercules, Dibs. I just cannot wait to see which way it's going. And the more it's coming over me about next Thursday, it's Mac Jones, man. I want to be wrong, but that's who it's going to be. Get ready.
Well, yeah. For you to go Chabot College on North Dakota State is so highly offensive to, you know, one of the more successful FCS programs.
What is the nickname for North Dakota
programs?
State? Do you know
the Bison, Goo, the Bison. I don't know how many Bison they have in southwestern Hayward, but
not five,
I would say,
not six, not seven.
Yeah, probably closer to zero, LeBron, as far as the Bison head count in Soha or South Hayward goes. This is it's a legit program, and we've talked about FCS teams beating FBS teams a lot. So I'd be more concerned about the small sample size last year. Not that he's going to have rust, because this upcoming year, if Lance is drafted by the Niners, he probably won't start. And if he does start, that means you're having a rough year, or Jimmy G got hurt.
The 510 says, it was always Trey Lance. Justin Fields is a smokescreen. You move up for the unlimited potential. Kyle and Lynch presence at Fields' workout was misdirection. That's one of the things. Like, they don't have to misdirect anything if they really don't want to. Once they moved up to three, now they just – now we'll take a look at all the quarterbacks just because that's what you do, but I just don't think – John Lynch is a – and I get it, it's Kyle's decision, but you think John Lynch is going to be a riverboat gamble? Like, even Jimmy Garoppolo, to me, it wasn't a risky move. It was a good, solid move. They could get a quarterback in here, test him out for a couple years for a second-round pick. I just can't see them moving up to three for a player who's really got the least amount of – most incomplete resume, if you will, even though it's no fault of his. Because I just
even
think
though
they're more – you know, they're just more – need something more tangible to do that.
I don't think so. If you look at the potential, if you like the potential of Lance and you know you've got Jimmy G already in the building and you've won with Jimmy G, well, now it's a free year of just pure tutelage for Trey Lance and a chance to, if he fulfills the top level of his upside potential, if you think that that's higher than what Justin Fields can do, then you take Trey Lance at number three, because you've got 5 years here of Lynch and Shanahan, assuming you get this thing going again on the right track. And so this year, you don't start Trey Lance. Jimmy G leads you to an 8-9 record, let's just say, or 9-8. Take your pick. And, well, you decide at that point, Lance is ready. Jimmy G is done here. You thank him for his time, and you turn it over to the second-year player, and you hope he has a Mahomesian track for a team that, you know, is still in a good position to be competitive. I think that scenario, if you're Kyle Shanahan, doesn't feel that risky.
So you think they're taking Lance, Dibs?
No, I think they're taking Fields. I don't think it's a smokescreen. I think that Fields has, you know, if you look at both players' absolute ceiling, they're very similar to me as far as what they could be. And just the Deshaun Watson comparisons and the fact that we've seen Fields be so competitive and be able to make the throws inside the pocket and outside the pocket, I think the certainty of Fields would lead me to think that he's more likely to go that direction.
That's where I'm at. Go ahead, Goo.
I was just going to say, I was watching some old track and field footage over the weekend, and I keep sleeping on the fact of what Andy Reid did and how Alex Smith, who just retired, I know we'll talk about him up here before we get off, but how he passed the baton to Mahomes. I mean, that was perfect. And, you know, I'm sitting in here screaming on rooftops, oh, if you draft him, he's got to start. No, he doesn't. And if the Niners are a player this year and they feel that they are with Garoppolo, and let's just say he played all 16 games and they make the offs, but you say goodbye like Kansas City did, and then you give it to whoever they draft, that can work. And I just keep forgetting that Kansas City did it like that.
So,
you know, Mahomes, sit back.
23 times that you said it won't work because it'll be a zoo, it's,
well, Jimmy has the no trade clause, so he ain't going nowhere, Stoney. He's got the leverage. He ain't going nowhere unless somebody comes calling for him and he agrees.
I think it's Fields. Because I just don't think the other two make sense for the Niners, believe it or not. I think Mac Jones was the biggest smokescreen going.
Okay.
And I just don't think they're gutsy enough to take a Trey Lance. And I think Fields has got the best resume, maybe. I know Mac Jones won at Alabama, but Fields may have the best individual resume. I wonder how much is going to change between now and next Thursday, too. Let's go to Laurie. She's got some ideas in Phoenix. What's up, Laurie?
Hey, guys. Welcome back, Stiney.
Thank you.
So, first of all, I was going to tell you guys that Fargo is a really nice place. My husband's best friend is from there, so I've gotten to visit a couple times. It's really pretty country. It's just, if it wasn't for winter, it'd be a nice place to live, but it's far too cold.
Gotcha.
For me to be there. So, but anyway, it's a great place. But I think I'm not surprised that these guys are doing what they're doing, and maybe they did know who they wanted. But here's the thing: you don't 100% know. What if it was Justin Fields that they really, really want? And then what if the Jets decide, we're taking Fields? Now, granted, you would say, okay, Wilson would be a no-brainer. But
right.
Isn't the biggest knock on the Niners that they didn't do their due diligence with quarterbacks like Watson and Mahomes? So if you're moving up to 3 and you know there's guys out there, why wouldn't you check them all out? Why wouldn't you make sure you knew the most about each one to make sure before you make your final decision, you know what you like, but you might see something else that you might like better, or if there's any surprises on draft day, then you know for sure who you want to pick, or at least you have another option.
Right. No, that makes sense. I'm wondering if, like, what if the 49ers, their guy is Fields? They love Fields. And the Jets take him. And what if they don't like Zach Wilson? I mean, let me ask you, is that within the realm of – see, that's the thing about Shanahan that we just don't know. If we could get Shanahan behind closed doors and say, look, there's 5 quarterbacks at the top of this draft. Please write down 1 through 5 your preference. It might be Lawrence, Fields, Wilson, Jones. You know what I mean? And at that point, now that – what if the Niners don't like Zach Wilson? And he's not a no-brainer to them, Dibs, and the Jets were to do something like that.
Well, then you would probably have known about it in advance. So if you don't love Wilson, and neither do the Jets, and – maybe you love Lance, but so do the Jets. And so it goes Lawrence 1, Lance 2, and now you're stuck at 3 with Wilson, who you don't love, Fields, who you're lukewarm on, and Mac Jones, who you kind of like. Well, now you're in a position where you'd want to trade back. And that's where going to Lance's pro day has such great value, because let's say, you know, it does go Lawrence Wilson, as most people would anticipate it does. Well, now you've shown a great interest in Lance to the extent that you went to Fargo in mid-30 degree temperatures to watch him throw the football to his friends and neighbors in shorts. And so you've kept it close to the vest. As much as there's been rumor, Adam Schefter saying it's going to be Mac Jones and conjecture about Fields, and now the Lance train is going to catch full steam by the time the pro day is over today, and by the time the news cycle runs through, it's going to be, oh boy, Did you see Shanahan's smile? Shanahan's smile was 11% wider today than it was at Fields' pro day. We're going to be measuring happiness from Kyle Shanahan looking at a 21-year-old throwing a football in shorts. Do you realize how ridiculous this all is? But I love it.
Yeah, Stani, hell yeah, they got a list. They got an itemized list of how they rank these quarterbacks. Let's just say they're in love with one and he tore his Achilles. I'm just saying, they would be like, you know what? Okay, it was so close, we got to go with option two, who we thought was that close. Because to me, they were in love with multiple guys, but they all got a number next to their name. And 49er fans, I hate to keep beating this drum. You said who's at the top. It could be Mac Jones at the top of Kyle's list, Stani. He could be number one.
But here's where I push back a little bit about like what Saleh is doing. We're assuming that the 49ers and the Jets knew 4 weeks ago who they were taking. And we're not allowing for the fact that over maybe 6 weeks, some team may change their mind. I mean, like, if the Jets, you know, maybe the Jets liked Wilson a month ago, and now they don't like Wilson as much, and now they're having second thoughts. I mean, that's a fireable train of thought to me.
If you thought,
what are you kidding?
I'm dead serious. What has Zach Wilson done in the past month to either improve or to hurt his draft status?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they found something out. I'm not sure. What I'm saying is, Why would it be a bad thing for a team to think that Zach Wilson was the quarterback that they wanted 6 weeks ago, but now they're saying, you know what? Justin Fields might be the guy. That's, like, how can you not allow for that possibility?
Well, outside of a bombshell dropping from an off-the-field nature, there's no reason why your assessment of a quarterback should change when the quarterback's done nothing to change that opinion. Now, if we find out that the rumored second DUI for Mac Jones turns out to be confirmed in a factual reality, which it's not, as far as I'm concerned, well, that would change your consideration in making him the number three overall pick. And this is a hypothetical. Or, you know, if Zach Wilson, if it turns out he's got, you know, like Goose said, torn Achilles, or maybe it's like, man, he had four shoulder surgeries we didn't know about. All of a sudden, that could change potentially your draft outlook. But none of these guys, there's been no reports of anything that's happened on the field or off. So if your opinion is still unformed at this late date, that's a red flag to me.
What if it's not? It's unformed. What if it's changing? What if you have people inside the building that over the, you know, that they're discussing this days after day after day after day, week after week after week? They're looking at film, the same film they've looked at, maybe some. When did the Jets decide it's Zach Wilson and we will never come off that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, we don't. Just for me, the Niners have to act like Stani, and Wilson may be number one on their list. But what I'm saying to you is they've already had to act like, what if Wilson fell? What if the Jets, what you're talking about, the scenario played itself out to where they went with Fields? The Niners aren't going to be, oh, my God, we didn't think about Wilson. They already, to me, they've itemized every quarterback, and they're too smart not to think about the booby prize. What if something went our way and the Jets shocked us? Because there's only two teams, really one, because we know what Jacksonville's doing. And what I'm saying, Stani, is their list may have Zach Wilson one, but he won't be available. But if he slipped and they had, you know, they were thinking he would be gone, now they go with Zach Wilson because he was at the top of their list. They just didn't think he was going to be available. So it will be good news to the Niners if something like that happened to me, Dibs, if the Jets went a different way.
Yeah, especially if that's that quarterback is somebody who you really wanted in the first place. Steiny, do you ever vote? Are you familiar with voting, Steiny?
Yes.
Do you vote in person or do you vote by mail?
I vote by mail.
Do you remember the last time you voted in person?
And it, yeah,
it's not apropos to know the date, but when
about
you went to vote in person 12 years ago, yeah, it's about right for me, maybe 8 years ago, although I do like to go in there and in a musty old gym, shout out Burkhalter Elementary, and pull the sheet in and vote in person. But when you go to vote, and this is going to be the biggest vote of Kyle Shanahan's professional career, you don't make that decision when you walk in the voting booth. You had your voter by mail pamphlet, and you look through it, and you watch the debates, and you pick through all of the information on who you wanted to vote for in whatever election you voted for. So by the time you get in that booth, and when the pick is in a week from Thursday, you better have done your homework long in advance, and you better have known in advance who you're going to vote for. And that to me is the idea of how troubling this would be if, you know, half an hour before the draft, and they're still like, any last bits of input, guys? We're still torn here.
But when does that stop? When does it become, like, why wouldn't you use, like, I get it, but, like, who? So we're assuming that no one can ever change their mind. Like, did Robert Saleh say, this is the guy we're drafting 6 weeks before the draft, and under no circumstances can that change? And I'm not just talking necessarily about, oh, well, something comes out that's bad. I'm like, you know, there's a lot of people that are involved in these internal discussions over the course of time.
Right.
I think it's within the realm of possibility that maybe decisions change and we're getting to the point where push is coming to shove and they got to figure it out now, obviously.
Well, 6 weeks ago is different than where we are now, 10 days away. And if you're still unsure, then unless there's new information that comes in, I don't know what could possibly sway you, because you've looked at every snap ever taken by all of these potential candidates, and you've talked to the coaches, and you've done all the homework you need to do. And the last box to check is today. You go to Trey Lance's pro day and you see it in person, him in shorts thrown to his buddies. And at that point, you should be able to close the book on his pre-draft assessment, because, Goo, I don't know what else new can pop up short of what happened to Laramie Tunsil when they released that bong footage of him in a gas mask right before the draft. That was new information.
Right. Yeah. But let me
go ahead.
It's not new information that I'm necessarily talking about, although, of course, new information would impact it. It's the decision-making process. Somebody in the room or people in the room might have swayed somebody the other way. Like, you know, maybe, you know, Saleh was like, it was, you know, 6 weeks ago it was Wilson, but it's like, man, I just, some of the stuff we've heard over the last couple weeks, you know, and feel, I'm just saying, I don't.
Right. But that doesn't happen the day of, Steiny.
I'm not saying all it does. It might be happening right now. Maybe the Jets, when like, everybody that says, well, Kyle knows who Saleh's taking. Well, that was three weeks ago when they made the trade. Who's to say stuff hasn't changed maybe within the Jets organization where they're like, you know what? Maybe Fields should be our guy. We got to talk about this more. We thought it was Wilson, but over the course of the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know what? We got to give Fields some. We got to give Fields more consideration. Now we'll figure. We're not going to make the decision on draft day, but we'll figure it out soon. But I think stuff can change.
And I'm not saying, you're right, but I'm not saying you're selling the Niners short. But at the end of the day, the Jets control who's going to be available for the Niners if everything stays as is, Steiny. And best believe your last dollar, they've talked about what if they went left when we thought they were going to right? What if they put it in reverse when we thought they know who they want, Steiny, and they like some better than others. That's the only way this thing works. So if the Jets, you know, do something that shocks the world, the Niners are going to benefit, and I'm sure they got who they think is worthy in order, in sequence.
Well, no, you can't assume that. You can't.
Well, if they don't, then it's negligent, and this is I disagree, because you're happy to have them sit on the fence, and I'm not 10 days ahead of the draft. If they don't have a definitive 1 through 5 at the quarterback position, then that is negligent on their behalf.
Okay, let's say, and here I'm going to push back on Goo. If the 49ers have their list 1 to 5, and it's Lawrence, Fields, Wilson, and the Jets take Fields, you're damn right that's a big blow to the 49ers. If Fields is the 49ers guy, and in a vacuum, they even like him more than Zach Wilson. They don't just say, okay, well, we'll take Zach Wilson.
But
even
you
though,
don't do what they did, Steiny, if you don't love multiple quarterbacks.
Exactly, Goo.
They're telling you we love more than just one. Because we wouldn't want to put our faith in, you know, everything predicated on what the Jets are doing. They went in to me, Dibs, knowing when it all falls out, we love two dudes, which means we're getting one of the two, and we're happy.
Yeah, and no matter what, no matter what, if it's Lawrence, if you like two of Wilson, Fields, Jones, or Lance, you love two of the four, and you know by going up to three, you're guaranteed to get one of the four, then, you know,
the
best, Robert Saleh. Yeah. If Saleh decides that he wants to go Mac Jones at two and you have your pick of the other guys, you're happy with it.
Okay, so you guys think that the 49ers moved up to three because, you know what, they'll take Fields or Trey Lance or Fields or, let's say they're two guys of Fields and Zach Smith.
Or Jones or Wilson. They love two of the four.
Okay, 888-957-9570 is the number. I want you to jump in on the other side and talk some draft with us. It's fascinating. There's all kinds of, you know what? It's a draft of nuance, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it is. And here's what's coming up on the other side. A tale of two A. Smiths. A. Smiths is coming up on the other side. I'm going to tell you two stories about two guys with the names A. Smith. That's what's coming up on the other side, according to Kyle Madsen. But I get what he's saying, and it's brought to you by Network Capital Funding.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
From the 14. Smith on third and three. He throws to the end zone, and a catch is made by Vernon Davis for a Niners touchdown.
Alex Smith, that was from the 2012 divisional playoff game against the Saints. Alex Smith, he's retiring this year. He's retiring as of now. 16 years in the NFL. Hard to believe. Number one overall pick of the San Francisco 49ers. Man, what a roller coaster career. Up and down and up and down, but I don't know that there are too many people who get more respect, and rightfully so, than Alex Smith. Just, you know, having been drafted here in San Francisco and now watched him for 16 years, how can you not respect Alex Smith as a person, as a player, just all the way around? He's calling it quits. Alex Smith, Dibs.
Incredible career, and it's, you know, you mentioned the roller coaster, and it really was probably four or five different careers. His early days with the Niners, where every year was a new offensive coordinator, and he had to start from square one, and they couldn't get it together. And then career number two, Harbaugh comes to town, and well, we got action. All of a sudden, the team is good, and then he gets hurt. He is replaced by Colin Kaepernick, and well, you can't lose your job due to injury until you lose your job due to injury. And then Kaepernick takes you to the Super Bowl. And then career number three, he goes to Kansas City and he's a starter and he gets them to the playoffs. And well, career number four, they draft Patrick Mahomes. And now he has a choice to either be a mentor or not be a mentor. And he chooses to be a mentor in an incredible move. And he then goes to Washington, career number five, where he becomes a starter again and has a good little run only to have his career ended by one of the most gruesome injuries, life-threatening injury, which leads us, Goo, to career number six, where he comes back from that injury, 17 surgeries, in one of the most improbable, inspirational comebacks in the history of any sport, let alone pro football. And then now he hangs it up at the end of 16 years and what I count, Guru, six different careers, as Steiny was mentioning, the roller coaster nature of his run.
No doubt. And I just got to say this, guys, without taking you You know, every marriage, you want to bond. You want to do something. You want to have both parties on the same page. And on my TV right now, I fired up the DVR. Wednesday, April 29th, 2020. My wife, me, and I sat there, and we shed some tears together, watching the E60 Project 11, Alex Smith. And where I'm going, guys, is it's the ultimate sign of perseverance. And to me, normally, had he not had to go through this, I would talk about the NFC championship game at home at the stick where he didn't throw a completed pass to a wide receiver and the Giants won. It's not about that for me. The fact that Alex Smith came back from near death, it was death, Steiny, leg amputation. That's the Alex Smith I'm going to remember. And I think about anytime I have an issue or somebody in my family does, because I'm telling you, for him to come back and actually start again, I felt like a soccer mom watching Alex Smith like, no, what are you doing? Retire. And I can't speak for the next man, but again, he's an inspiration. He's a winner, Dibs. And what really just doesn't sit well with me is the fact that he didn't get to start that playoff game at home this last season. That hurt. That hurt me. I wanted him to get that, Steiny, because he earned it. But he wasn't ready to go. We saw him go out against the Niners. But yeah, it's Alex Smith on mine all day. And I won't go through the cap era. Was he a failure or not? He brought the Niners back. They just didn't win the Super Bowl. But he ain't the only one that's happened to, Dibs and Steiny.
We're talking about three A. Smiths. Three A. Smiths. Alex Smith has retired. Alden Smith has just
what happened?
Messed up again. He's wanted for battery right now in Louisiana. Alden Smith, who has been in trouble frequently over the course of his career, apparently is he's being sought in a case involving a battery charge in Louisiana. That's Alden Smith. The third Smith is Akili Smith. And former quarterback, why would he be, do you think, guys, the third A. Smith we may mention? Anybody have any ideas?
I
have some ideas.
First,
on Alden Smith, before we just brush right by it, it happened. The 31-year-old wanted for second-degree battery in an incident that occurred near a coffee shop, and this according to reports from a local TV station, WDSU, in the St. Bernard Parish in the sheriff's office down there. It happened in Chalmette over the weekend. So second-degree battery could be something very minor. It could be significant. Maybe throwing a warm cup of coffee on somebody. You know, battery, obviously not as bad as assault, but the fact that he's popped back up again in the police
blotter.
Put hands
on somebody, yeah.
Yeah, it could have been something as simple as that. Yeah, so, you know, we'll keep an eye on that. But Akili Smith was part of the last draft where quarterbacks went 1, 2, and 3. Lo Neal tells stories about playing with Akili Smith in Cincinnati.
Yes, in 1999, three quarterbacks went 1, 2, and 3.
Give it to
and
me.
We're talking about that because this year quarterbacks may go 1, 2, and 3. And you know what? You look at these names here in 1999, and it gets you a little scared. Tim Couch, number one pick.
Browns.
Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
Donovan McNabb, number two pick in Philly. And then Akili Smith, drafted number three, Cincinnati.
Well, if I'm the Jets, I'm feeling, hey, McNabb don't belong in the – yeah.
Point is, that's one out of three. And who's to say
– Right.
The 49ers aren't going to – I don't want to say draft the wrong guy, but maybe the right guy's not there when they draft. I mean, and also happened Dibs and Goo in 1971. Jim Plunkett went 1.
Yeah.
Archie Manning went 2 to New Orleans. And Dante Pastorini went number 3 that year. And I think it's going to happen again this year.
Yeah, that trio in 71, far better than the subsequent trio. Dante Pastorini, a.k.a. Dan Pastorini.
Yeah.
Would have had a much better career had he not been absolutely riddled with injuries. Jim Plunkett should be in the Hall of Fame. in my opinion.
Oh, my gosh.
And Archie Manning, another guy who got just absolutely ravaged by a lack of an offensive line. I remember those early days with the single bar goo, watching Archie Manning just get thrown to the turf in New Orleans. Yeah, tough guy, tough career, though, with the amount of punishment he took.
No doubt.
I remember Archie Manning was one quarterback who it was acknowledged that he was great, even though he was on a bad team.
Right.
And I'm thinking, does that ever happen anymore? It's now the argument is, well, how good can he be if the team stinks? Well, he's good. He's really good. He's like Steph Curry. You know, I mean, you can only elevate the team to 500. Somebody's got to help at some point.
I hear you.
Coming up momentarily, Jeff Kolpak. He's a longtime North Dakota State University football beat writer for Forum Communications. Of course, the San Francisco 49ers attended Trey Lance's pro day today in Fargo, and saw a little bit of footage on that. And also, Dibs, apparently Jeff Kolpak hosts a golf show. He hosts a golf show, so we might want to get into a little golf with Jeff Kolpak.
Yeah, what a great weekend for Stuart Sink, Goo, 47-year-old who he actually won up in Napa about 8 months ago, and then he's got his son caddying. His son's got to be early 20s, and you watch him all weekend, and he and his boy are just spending time together, and dad's out there making pars, and he's kept the lead. He kept waiting for Stuart Sink to get caught by one of these young guns, but nope, not this weekend. And you see the big embrace, father and son on the 18th green yesterday. Made me feel a little, some kind of way, Goo. It made me feel warm. The old guy got a win with his boy on the bag.
I need some tissue stock. Was that the Napa Open, Diaz? What are they?
It was Safeway Open up at Silverado. So Sink won that last year, which qualified him for the Masters. And then coming out of the Masters, they go down to South Carolina, one of Steiny's favorite places, Hilton Head. Stuart Sink had won there twice in the past, but usually guys in their late 40s, they don't win on the PGA Tour. But old Stu went out and had two amazing rounds and then two really good rounds, and he won the the tartan jacket, Steiny, at Hilton Head.
Did he sink the putt to win, if you get what
pun going? Intended. Yeah. Yeah, he made a nice little par. He had one under round on the